Go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3. After about 6 months, we're getting back to this Bible study, and I'm very thankful for that. And it's been fun getting back into it and studying, and so we'll see how long we can keep this going. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." So as we've been doing, we'll take it phrase by phrase. We'll look at that first phrase, first of all. For I was my father's son. So without looking at the outline, who is speaking here? Who is speaking? Solomon. And who is his father?
David,
yes, that's right. Proverbs 1 and verse 1. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." So he was his father's son, which you might think that's kind of obvious, right? Isn't every man their father's son? But obviously there's more of a meaning to this than just simply he is biologically produced by his father, clearly. Solomon's birth was special because if you remember, David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. You remember that story? You saw her out there bathing on the roof, and he called her and came in and lay with her, and then she was pregnant, and then he tried to cover it up by making it look like it was her husband, and when that didn't work, he had Uriah, her husband, killed. Well, the punishment for that was that baby would die. 2 Samuel 12, verses 22 through 24. "And after the baby died, then the Lord comforted David and Bathsheba by giving them another son, and that was Solomon." So Solomon was the replacement son for the baby that had died. 2 Samuel 12, verses 22 through 24. So this is one reason why Solomon had a special place in David's heart. 2 Samuel 12, 22. "And he said," he's talking about, he's been mourning and fasting, hoping that the child won't die. "And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall not go to him, but I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." He's speaking of going to the grave, where, you know, it talks about where people were gathered with their fathers whenever they died, meaning they went to the grave where their fathers went. Verse 24, "And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him." So Solomon was the replacement. So he was therefore a special son to David for this reason and other reasons. And interestingly enough, just as a side note, Solomon was in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ through Joseph's side. He was part of the royal lineage. And so here you have a son that was given to David because the son that was the product of adultery died. So, and Solomon comes from the woman who was the adulteress, and from David was the adulterer. So it's interesting that of all the people that the Lord could have picked to bring the Messiah into the world through, it was Solomon who came from this adulterous marriage, which is interesting and curious.
But it's through Joseph's lineage.
Joseph, yeah.
Right, not Mary's.
Right.
But isn't there something where there was something weird even on Mary's side or not?
Yeah, well, when you go back, and it would be on both sides, when David, there's a split. So Nathan, David's son, is through Mary comes through Nathan, David's son, and then Joseph came through Solomon. But when you go beyond David, then you have Perez, which was Judah's son, Perez, and he was born of fornication through Tamar, who played the harlot, but not harlot. So anyway, so you have a guy there that was the great grandfather of both Joseph and Mary, who was a bastard, basically. By definition. So yeah, it's interesting the past that our Lord Jesus Christ came through, which I guess is just to show us that he was born of sinners. He was born in a line of sinners, and yet he wasn't born a sinner because God was his father.
So David and Bathsheba didn't get married after that thing? So they were not married at that time?
No, they did. No, they did. It says David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. Okay. So they did get married.
Okay.
But yeah, when I said an adulterous marriage, it began in adultery anyway.
Okay.
And I guess technically it wasn't. Uriah was dead, so she was free to marry. And about David, and it was a polygamous situation back then anyway. It was a little bit different than it is today. So when David said, or when Solomon says here, I was my father's son, he was not his only son, because David did have many sons, but Solomon was chosen to be king in David's stead. If you look in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 5, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 5, David says here, and of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. So David had lots of sons, but Solomon was the chosen son, chosen of God to be David's heir.
I wonder if Solomon was his first son. Didn't say anyplace like that.
No, actually, he was one of his last.
His last?
And yeah, I will get to that here in just a little bit.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, which is interesting, too, because typically it would be the firstborn son, which is given the double portion of the inheritance, and a lot of times the royal lineage is passed down through the firstborn, but not in this case. So God loved Solomon. We read that in 2 Samuel 12:24, when it said that the Lord loved him. And therefore, David loved him, too, because David was a man after God's own heart. And naturally, if you're a man after God's own heart, you're going to love the things that God loves. In Acts 13:22, just to give you the verse, I know everybody knows that David was a man after God's own heart, but it is nice to see where it is in the Bible in case you ever need to go looking for it. Acts 13:22, it says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And that's a quote from 1 Samuel 13:14. So David was a man after God's own heart, and naturally he loved Solomon because the Lord did too. And David loved him and prayed that the Lord would give Solomon a perfect heart to keep his commandments. 1 Chronicles 29:19. So David, like any father, would want the best for his son, and especially knowing that his son was going to be king, he wanted Solomon to be a good king. He wanted him to keep the commandments of God, and he prayed thus for him. 1 Chronicles 29:19 says David's prayer, and he says, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And his prayer was answered for a long time. Solomon did blow it at the end of his life, but it just makes you wonder how many things in our lives are the result of somebody else praying for us, praying that we'd be faithful, praying we'd keep God's commandments, a mother staying at home worrying about our kids out there, and how many of us have been spared from who knows what by parents or others praying for us. So he says, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. So let's look at that second phrase there. So he was tender in the sight of his mother. Tender is when we're speaking of being tender toward or in regard to others, when it's of persons, their feelings, or the expression of these, tender means characterized by exhibiting or expressing delicacy of feeling or susceptibility to the gentle emotions, kind, loving, gentle, mild, affectionate. That is the object of tender feeling, tenderly loved, dear, beloved, precious. So this is how Solomon's mother felt towards her son. She had affection for him. He was dear to her. She was very gentle, mild with him. He was one of those boys that she really just loved and fawned upon, and he was very special to her, obviously. It says, he was tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Beloved means loved, and only means one, without companions or society, solitary, lonely. So he was solitary in his mother's love for him, in this special, tender love, anyway. Now, I used to think, and really for quite some time until I just looked it up, that Solomon was the only son of Bathsheba and David, because it says that I was tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. But that is not right. If you look at 1 Chronicles 3 and verse 5, we'll see that Bathsheba had other sons. So he was not the only son that she had. 1 Chronicles 3 and verse 5. It says, and these were born unto him in Jerusalem. This is unto David. These were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shimeah and Shobab and Nathan and Solomon, four of Bathsheba, or Bathsheba is another way of another different spelling of that name, of Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. So, interestingly enough, actually, I forgot about this, Nathan was the son of Bathsheba as well. So both Mary and Joseph came through Bathsheba, because Mary was the daughter of Nathan, and Joseph was the son of Solomon. So both of them came through the product of an adulterous relationship, basically. Yep, so the names here, the ones that were born of Bathsheba, is Nathan.
Oh, okay.
Nathan and Solomon. Yep, so they both, so Christ came through both of his parents through Bathsheba,
yeah,
which is quite interesting. So he was the only son who was the object of his mother's tender love and affection, or in other words, he was her favorite. She really had a special place in her heart for Solomon. And then because of his beloved status, both of his parents taught him in the ways of God when he was young and tender. If you look at Proverbs 4 and verse 4, which is the next verse that we'll be looking at here in a few minutes, he says here of his father, of David, he says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. So David taught Solomon because he loved him, and Bathsheba also taught Solomon because she loved him. Proverbs 31 and verse 1. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And I'm not sure that it can be absolutely proven, but there's, I think, pretty good reason to believe that Lemuel was another name for Solomon, maybe like a nickname, a pet name, that his mother gave him a special name, especially because he was only beloved and so on. So this is when we read Proverbs 31 and all that good stuff in there about the virtuous woman and some other things in the beginning of the chapter, he learned those things from his mother. So she taught him along with his father. And this is what parents do when they love their children, is teach them. Matthew Henry had an interesting thing to say about this verse, because it says he was only beloved of his mother, meaning that he was a favorite. Matthew Henry said, if parents may ever love one child better than another, it must not be till it plainly appears that God does so. Which I thought was very profound. I would not have a problem with a parent loving one child more than another if one child was godly and the other child was ungodly. If I had a bunch of kids and one of them was a God-fearing, God-loving, baptized church member and feared God, kept his commandments, treated me with love and respect, and then I had some other rebels, reprobates, that wanted nothing to do with the faith, you bet I'd love the one more than the other ones. Why wouldn't you? I mean, naturally. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think what Henry's saying is right, though. Assuming that's not the case, and you got three good kids, like you guys do or something, you shouldn't be picking and choosing, say, oh, I love Carissa more than Austin, or, you know, Carrie more than Carissa, or whatever. So we should, you know, try to be... Austin's at the bottom of the totem pole, if you notice there. Cause, yeah. So... So we, you know, but, you know, if it's the other way around, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with not giving a bad kid no inheritance either, because it says that he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. So if I had kids and I had some good ones and some bad ones, I wouldn't leave the bad ones anything. Why would I reward your bad behavior? So that takes care of Proverbs 4 and verse 3.